Morning. Always a blessing to gather together. Always a great privilege and honor to be with the Lord's people. The message today is called Divine Illumination. Divine Illumination. Our text will be in Hebrews chapter 10. Put your finger there. But before we go there, we'll look at some other scriptures. First, starting in Matthew 25. Now we know that God's distinguishing grace is plainly taught in the Word of God. And we know that God's distinguishing grace is a truth because of what we've experienced in our own lives and how God has saved us and yet passed by others in our lives. So we personally, who are God's blood-bought, born-again people, know the truth of God's distinguishing grace. And we are taught in the Word of God, when we see the sheep and the goats separated, when our Lord comes again, that God's distinguishing grace again is right there before us. Matthew chapter 25, we see here at the great white judgment throne that the sheep and the goats are separated. Matthew 25, verses 31 and 32. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So there we see God's distinguishing grace right there before us. Now turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. We also know from Scripture that God has created vessels of mercy and vessels of wrath. And He is the divine potter, and we who are humans are the clay. And we're all taken from the same lump because our father is Adam. But God can do whatever He pleases with that clay. He can make one a vessel of honor, and He can make another a vessel of dishonor if it so pleases Him. I used to work with pottery when I was in grade 7 or so, and we took several pottery classes, and we used the wheel. So when I read this, I often think back of that. And of course, I made a pretty funny-looking candlestick, but my mom made it to let me know that it was one of the greatest things that she'd ever seen, which moms do that for us, and it's wonderful. But I made that into whatever I wanted to make it into. The clay did not say, I want you to make me this. No. I made that into whatever I wanted to make it into. And it's the same with God. He can do whatever He pleases with His creation. Whatever He pleases. Look at Romans chapter 9, verses 21 and 23. Hath not the potter power over the clay? So cannot the potter, when the wheel's spinning there, can he not make the clay into whatever He pleases? Of course he can. Of course he can. The clay is powerless. It's absolutely powerless. Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory? So even here we see God's distinguishing grace right here before us. So with that in mind, let's now turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll read verses 19 to 39. 19 to 39. Verse 20, or verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, in heaven and high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He that is faithful, He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And here's our text in verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly was you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye become companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me in my bounds, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So our text will be found in verse 32, where we'll be looking at divine illumination. And this message ties right into our Sunday school lesson, which was all about regeneration and examining yourself to make your election and calling sure. Now, these closing verses of Hebrews 10 are addressed to true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is they who have been illuminated by God the Holy Spirit, and as we saw in Sunday school, all by His almighty power. All by the almighty power of God. And they are to call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated. Let's look at the verse again. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. And then let's look at the next verse. Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them which were so used. Now the word illuminated there means in the Greek to shed rays, to shine or brighten up, literally or figuratively, to enlighten and illuminate, to bring, to give light, to make see. So those who once were in darkness are now made to see. And who are we made to see? Well, we know we're made to see Christ. We're made to see God for who He really is. Not who we thought He was, right? But who He really is. Who He really is. And under the preaching of the true gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, all by the power of God the Holy Spirit, our minds are enlightened. God's people are regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, and our minds and our hearts are enlightened. And we see who He really is. We're born again by His almighty power. And truly, we who have been born again are illuminated by the Holy Spirit of God. And again, we see Christ, don't we? And we believe the gospel. We believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 3, but keep your spot in Hebrews chapter 10. John chapter 3. Now, we will never understand the miracle of the new birth until we understand just how estranged we were from our mother's womb during our physical birth. We were born into this world dead in trespasses and sins. We were absolutely helpless to save ourselves. We were absolutely helpless to regenerate ourselves. You can't make yourself born again. You can't regenerate yourself. You can't save yourself. None of us can. We're absolutely helpless. And we're hopeless. We are totally depraved sinners. And in that state, we go astray speaking lies. That's how we are. That's how we are. And we'll never understand the enlightening power of God in giving us eyes to see the spiritual truths that are in Christ and Christ alone until we understand again the total spiritual darkness that we were in. We were in utter darkness, beloved. We were totally in darkness about the things of God. That's our state. And that's the state of people you work with or see all around who are not born again. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And we remember the state we were in. We remember we were there. We don't judge them because we know that was me, but by the grace of God. And I still struggle with sin. I know you do too, don't you? We all do. We ought not to look down at people because we're all sinners. But we who are redeemed are sinners saved by the grace of God. That's the only one. The only one who made us to differ is God. That's all. Only God's made us to differ. Only God. So we'll never understand the enlightening power of God in regeneration in regenerating us and giving us eyes to see until we understand the total spiritual darkness we were in. And oh, again, how great that darkness was. And we'll never understand the power of God in setting us free until we understand the prison house of sin that we were in. Beloved, we were in the prison house of sin and we were chained up. We didn't even know we were chained up. But we were. The scripture says the cords of sin, it's bound us, beloved. We're bound by the cords of sin. We were held captive. We were shut in by sin and unbelief. Absolutely shut in. Under the power of Satan that held us captive and the power of sin. And we were slaves to our sin. And we didn't even know we were. But that was our state. That was our state. And what is it that we understand now? Well, we understand that not only was it impossible for us to set ourselves free from those things that held us captive, but beloved, in our natural state we were in, we did not want to be set free. Ever think of that? I wasn't looking for God when He found me. I was perfectly content doing what I was doing. And I didn't even know the state I was in. Did you? Mercy. Oh, what mercy, beloved. What mercy is manifested. We hated Christ then. We hated the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We hated those who were true followers of Christ. We loved the darkness that we were in. And therefore, we had no desire to come to the true light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We enjoyed being slaves to sin. Even though, again, we had no idea we were slaves to sin. And we enjoyed fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And let us remember that even moral, hard-working people are in the same camp. They're dead in trespasses and sins. Let's look again at John chapter 3. Let's turn there. I had you turn there earlier, but now we're going to look there. And we'll see that ye must be born again. We must be born again. We must be born from above. We must be regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God and all by the power of God, like we saw in Sunday school. Or we'll never see the kingdom of God. This is a work of God. This is a work of God. Look at John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Let us take note that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews, which means he was probably a member of the Sanhedrin, which was Israel's highest religious court. Therefore, we can view him as a representative of them all, can't we? And note in verse 2 that he comes to our Lord by night. He comes secretly. He don't want no one knowing he's coming to the Lord. He's afraid of losing his position or losing power or influence. So he secretly comes to the Lord at night. See, he's got power and he's got a position. But he knows that if he went to see the Lord in the day, that his fellow Pharisees would be going, "What are you doing?" So he secretly comes to the Lord at night. And although he's a religious ruler, we're see here that he is altogether lacking in spiritual understanding of the things of God. And this is true of all religionists, even in our day right now, beloved. Nothing's changed. And note that even though he was a ruler of the Jews and a student of the Scriptures, he was dead in trespasses and sins. Absolutely. He knew stuff. He had studied the Scriptures. He knew some things. Just like people can know doctrine. Oh, they can know doctrine, tell you all kinds of things. They can say the right things. You must be born again. You must be born again. And every son and daughter of Adam is born dead in trespasses and sins. We must be born again. Note verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus acknowledges that Jesus was surely a teacher come from God, because the miracles of Christ differed radically from those performed by others, before or since. How are we to test those who come to us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not by the power of their work to work wonders. Here's the answer. Examine them by the Word of God. Examine them by what they say about the Lord Jesus Christ. Examine them by what they preach and who they preach. Who they preach. Examine them by what they say about the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. That salvation is of the Lord, holy. That it includes none of your works or mine. That it's all of the Lord, from beginning to end. Do they proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord," or do they tell you their opinion and what you have to do? See, it's easy for us to examine these things, isn't it? Do they point you to Christ, or do they point you to something you got to do? Do they preach the gospel of God's free grace, and do they glory in the Lord Jesus Christ alone? Do they exalt and glorify Christ in all, in His redemptive work, and in His life that He lived, the perfect life for us? Or do they exalt themselves? Do they promote themselves? These are questions we ask ourselves when someone claims to be sent from God to preach the gospel. And note that our Lord ignores Nicodemus' address and proclaims to him that he must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, he didn't even answer his questions about the other thing. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He totally ignores what Nicodemus had said and just says to him, "You must be born again." That's what's vital. That's what's vital. Nicodemus called the Lord a teacher of God. Think of this, he brought him down to the same level as himself. And the same level as others. Not knowing that the one that he spoke to was God himself incarnate in the flesh. He had no idea who he was. He's not merely a teacher sent by God, beloved. He's the Word of God incarnate. He's the Word of God incarnate. And note in verse 4 that we see that Nicodemus gives an answer that a natural man would give. That a man who has no spiritual understanding of what the Lord is talking about would give. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is a natural man's response. He doesn't have a clue what the Lord's talking about. And this shows us, beloved, that the Jewish leaders were lacking altogether in spiritual understanding. If we look at Nicodemus as a representative of the Jewish leaders, they didn't have a clue. They had no spiritual understanding of who Christ is. They didn't have any understanding of the fall either, did they? Because the Lord's saying, here, you must be born again. You're born dead. He doesn't say that, but that's what he's bringing up, that you must be born again. You must be regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. You must be. So they don't understand who Christ is. They don't understand the fall and its consequences. And they don't understand the nature of spiritual life and faith. They're the blind leading the blind. There's many out there doing that, isn't there? Many. And then our Lord bluntly answers Nicodemus again in verse 5. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He brings it forth again. Brother Mahan comments on this verse. The word water has no reference to the waters of baptism. The Lord Jesus used the word water emblematically to refer to the Word of God. It's a picture. The Word of God is always the instrument used by God in regeneration and the preaching of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is the begetter or quickener. And the Word of God is the seed. By his first fleshly birth, a man enters into this world, a sinful creature. When a sinner is born again by the Spirit and the Word of God, he enters into the kingdom and family of God, a new creature in Christ, end quote. And our Lord continues. Look in verses 6 and 7. Our Lord continues. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See, we come into this world with a dead nature because our parents had a dead nature. And we can trace that all the way back to Adam, can't we? Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He says it again. We need things repeated, don't we? I do. You ever think of why we come to hear the gospel preached and proclaimed, and why gospel preachers get up every week and we proclaim Christ? We have the same message, but we come at it from different texts, right? And why do we do that? Because we need it, don't we? We need to be reminded every week. We need to hear every week of what Christ done for us. We need to hear about our Savior. We need to hear that we're born dead in trespasses and sins. But the preacher has good news. We have wonderful news. There's salvation in Christ and Christ alone. But you must be born again. You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. So man is by birth born blind and opposed to the things of God. And no amount of religious training can change this evil nature. We see that with Nicodemus and the rulers in Israel. No amount of them studying the Scriptures and religious training could change that state that they were in. That natural state. And our Lord proclaims again here to Nicodemus that a man must have a spiritual nature before he can understand, enter, or enjoy the kingdom of God. He's speaking to him about regeneration. You must be born again. Then look at verse 8. This is a work of God, the Holy Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Our Lord here brings forth a comparison for us between the wind and the Spirit of God and giving us a picture of the new birth. Now ponder this. The wind is invisible. You cannot see it. I cannot see it. But we feel the effects of it, don't we? We feel the effects of it. We see the effects of it in the trees, but it's invisible. We can't see it. So we cannot see the Spirit of God, but we who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God can testify of His almighty power, can't we? We can testify of it. And the results of His work is evident in our lives because we're new creatures in Christ. We felt the effects of the new birth, haven't we? We're born again. We're born again. And think upon the wind. It's sovereign in its actions. We saw that this weekend with that hurricane. No man can control that. No man can stop it. It goes wherever it pleases, hey. Wherever God's pleased to send it, it goes. It goes. The wind does not consult us, nor can it be regulated. It cannot be stopped. So it is with the Spirit of God. It's called invincible grace, beloved. Invincible grace. The wind blows where it pleases and when it pleases, and as it pleases, and wherever God is pleased to have it blow, so with the Spirit, He regenerates whom He wills, and He passes by others. Lastly, again, the wind is irresistible. It blows where it will, and when it comes in power, as we saw with the hurricane this weekend, it sweeps everything before it. So it is with the Holy Spirit of God. No one can resist Him. No one can resist Him. Thy people shall be what? Made willing. In the day of His power. And they are. And we rejoice. We rejoice that we're made willing, don't we? We rejoice in the fact of the sovereignty of our great God and salvation. Because we know we never would have come to Him. And so we rejoice. When He comes in the fullness of His power, we're born again. When the Holy Spirit comes in the fullness of His power, we're born again. And it is He who conquers our wills. And makes us willing to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in the day of His power. And then God's people who have felt this and had this occur, we proclaim salvation is of the Lord. It's all He's doing. I was going that way. And He came and sought me out. He came and sought me out. My goodness. Just like He sought that lost sheep out. Was that lost sheep looking for Him? No. He was wandering around in the wilderness, wasn't he? But the shepherd seeks him out and finds him and puts him on his shoulders and carries him home. And there's great rejoicing. There's great rejoicing. Now, these are the words of our Savior here in John chapter 3. Let us never forget that these words come from He who is God incarnate. So when He says, ye must be born again, ye must be born again. These are His words. These are the words of the Master. These are the words of God. Some people say, well, what are you talking about being born again? I'm a good person. I don't need that. You must be born again. Some people say, well, I was baptized. Surely I'm saved. You must be born again. Some people say, well, I'm moral. I do all these things. I'm a good person. I have all my ducks in a row. You must be born again. Some people might say, well, I know all this doctrine. I prayed a prayer years ago. I made it right with God. You must be born again. You must be. These are the words of the Master. These are the words of the Master. He proclaims the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who is the believer's Lord and Savior. The one who cannot lie. Proclaims, you must be born again. You must be. You must be. We must be regenerated. Our minds must be divinely illuminated or will never know or seek or see Christ. Let's go back to our text in Hebrews chapter 10. If you are not born again, you will never know who Christ is. No matter how much knowledge you gain, we saw that with Nicodemus. He's a ruler in Israel. People look up to him. He's devoid of any spiritual knowledge of who Christ is. Let's go back to our text in Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll look at verses 32. But let's read from verses 31 to 35, again, to get the context. This is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Truly, it is a fearful thing if you're not in Christ. Oh, my. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, that means you're born again, ye endured a great fight of affliction. Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them which were so used. For ye had compassion on me, of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Now this book is written by Paul, the Hebrews, Hebrew believers. And he's writing them and exhorting them to preserve in Christ Jesus, to hold their confidence in Him no matter what happens, not to be worried and discouraged by false prophets, by ceremonialism, by legalists, which attack them on all fronts. And remember, when you profess Christ as a Hebrew, you were cast out of the synagogue, you were disowned by your family, you were basically left with nothing. But with Christ, we have everything. We have everything, beloved. And note that Paul is bringing forth here, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, after ye were born again, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. The new birth or illumination, spiritual revelation, is a work of God. Work of God, the Holy Spirit, a work that He alone can accomplish. We saw that in John chapter 3, which He does under the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, let's look at verse 32 with that in our minds. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, after you were born again, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. So Paul tells them to look back to when they were babes in Christ and take note of the great fight of afflictions they went through. I was talking to a dear preacher brother, and we were talking about that, about how we look back and see the deliverances that the Lord has done for us. Remember the great fight, the great struggle when you were first born again. And as I said, some of these people were disowned by families because they trusted Christ. They may have lost their livelihood or their homes, all because they professed faith in Christ. Have any of you suffered in the past rejection from family because of your profession in Christ? Have any of you in the past suffered rejection from your friends or co-workers for your profession in Christ? Have any of you had your family turn against you for your profession in Christ? I know what that one feels like. And I know some of you do too. I know you do. It is hard. But we hold fast to our King, don't we? We hold fast to Him. We lay hold of Him. And we look back at the past and we see the great fight of afflictions after we were illuminated, after we were born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And we know that we are only kept by the power of God. We know that. See, Christ is so important to us. As I said in Sunday school, He's everything to us. So if family or friends forsake us because of our profession in Christ, we lay a hold of Him. We're going to spend eternity with Him, beloved. And we're going to spend eternity with our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is why I always say, you're my family. And this is true. I remember Brother Donnie Bell and I talking about that. I don't know if you know about Brother Donnie, but when he was 5 years old, his mom and dad told him to get out. And he went and lived with his grandparents. And I remember him and I talking about that. And it was so difficult for him, what he went through. But he said to me, Brother Wayne, I have family now that I never knew I had then. And they're all over the world. And they're in glory. It's wonderful, beloved. It's absolutely wonderful. So we look back and we see where we've suffered afflictions after we were born again. And again, we know that we're kept by the power of God and we stand firm in the biblical truths of the Bible and the fact that salvation is in Christ and Christ alone, no matter what others say or do to us. We stand fast in the fact that you must be born again. You must be. You must be. Because the Master Himself said that. You must be born again. We stand fast in the fact that no works of ours contribute to our salvation. None. And you know, I've had many people, they just don't even want to talk to you after you say that. But we will not compromise on that truth. The work is done by Christ and Christ alone. And we proclaim that salvation is in Christ and Christ alone, that He is all our justification before God, that He's all our sanctification before God, that He's all our wisdom before God, and that He's our redemption before God. And we look outside of ourselves and we look to our Savior, don't we? And we trust in Him. And we rest in Him. Now, as babes in Christ, we might struggle with some of the strong meat of the Word. But beloved, if the Spirit of Christ dwells in our heart, we will not have any lasting problems with any gospel truths. We'll embrace them. We might not understand them all when we're babes, but we embrace the truths that are proclaimed from the Scriptures. And it's the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, to guide His born-again, blood-bought people into all truth. And how does He do this? Under the preaching of His gospel by His ordained preachers. Let's read verse 32 again. It says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions." Let us keep in mind, and prior to regeneration, the elect are by nature as all other men, sensual and not having the Spirit. And it's only the Spirit who makes those alive who are born dead in trespasses and sins. In our natural state, we live in absolute total separation from God. We have no perception of our own sinfulness, no perception of the state that we're in. And again, we have no desire and we see no need for a Savior or for the things of God. And we endure after we're saved when it pleases God. In His timing, and by His good pleasure, the elect of God, by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, are regenerated. Just as the Lord proclaims, you must be born again. And we are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now we have received the Spirit, which is of God. You must be born again. And it says here, you endured a great fight of afflictions. I'll never forget something my dad told me years ago. After I told him I was born again, and I told him I loved him, and we never told each other a whole lot that we loved each other. We just didn't do that in my family. You know, of course, we did it with Mom, but not with the brothers or dad. We just never did that a whole lot. Just show yourself weak if you do that. Well, after the Lord had regenerated me and illuminated me, I went up to my dad and I gave him a hug and told him I loved him. And then after, as I journeyed in my new life in Christ and being born again, I'll never forget, my dad one day told me, he said, "I'd rather have you back in the bars than in church." And I thought, oh my. Oh my. And that was a great fight of affliction for me. To have your own dad turn against you. And it's hard. But we are kept by the power of God. I look back at that now and I see how the Lord kept me. How he brought me through that. And I'm sure it's the same with you in your lives. Different things, different situations. Maybe your friends have turned against you and just walked away. And it's hard. It hurts. But we keep our eyes on Christ, don't we? We keep our eyes on Him. And we look back and we see how the Lord has delivered us and brought us through all those situations. And He's never left us. And He never will. And it brings great comfort to God's people to look back and remember the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. To look back and see what God has done. Not only am I regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, which is a miracle all in itself, but I'm kept by His power. Because I'm one of His. And I know it's so for you too. You who are His born-again, blood-bought people. Now, as I mentioned earlier in Sunday school, we must look at the books of the Bible, when we're reading them, who they're addressed to. Who they're addressed to. We know that this verse in this book is addressed to those who have been illuminated by God the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. We see that right here in our text. "But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction." So this book is written to God's people. If we have heard the life-giving voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of His sheep, those who know His voice will not listen to the voice of strangers. A.W. Pink says, how do we hear the voice of Christ? Through the preaching of the gospel. The Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us into all truth. "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, wherewith He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commandeth the light," when did He do that? When we're born again. When we're illuminated. "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," and oh, what darkness we were in, and what did He do? "Has shined in our hearts to give the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. And in Romans 11:29 says, "The gifts and calling of God are without repentance." Which means they're irrevocable. Unalterable, cannot be overturned and cannot change. What great peace the believer can draw from that. "He who keeps me will keep me forever. He who saved me has saved me." Wonderful, good news. Good news for sinners. Flee to Christ. He's the only hope for sinners. And for God's people, may we cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may these words today bring comfort to your souls. And may we meditate upon these truths, upon the fact you must be born again. And meditate just means think upon it. May we just think upon it this week and in the weeks to come. May we think upon the fact of divine illumination. You must be born again. And may we think upon how it's a work of God in the soul of the believer, all by His almighty power. And when you think upon it, I guarantee it'll make you rejoice. You who are His blood-bought people, it'll make you rejoice when you think that we were dead and we've been made alive. My. We've been illuminated, beloved. Regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. Cling, beloved. Cling and hang on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hang on to Him who is the object of the gospel of God's free grace. Hang on to the precious truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's blood-bought saints will preserve until the end and can be confident of this very thing, that He who hath begun a good work in you, notice who started the work, right? He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You're finished the work. It's incredible, beloved. Mercy, mercy, mercy. God's people have received mercy. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the time that we've had to be able to go through Scripture. And oh, Lord Jesus, as we've seen, You must be born again. We pray that if there's one of Your lost sheep here, oh, Lord, that You would regenerate them and grant them faith and repentance to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior of sinners. And we who are Your blood-bought, born-again, redeemed people, we rejoice as we look back and see that after we were illuminated, as we look back and see the great deliverances through the fiery afflictions that we've went through in our lives. And there's many. We can look back and see many. But we can see how You've taken us through them all. How You've carried us through them all. How You've never, as You said in Your word, You'll never leave us nor forsake us. You're ever with us, O Lord. And in one day we'll be in Thy presence, O Lord, and we'll see Thee face to face. And oh, how glorious that'll be. Lord, give us grace and strength in our remaining days upon this earth to trust and rest and just look to Thee. We love You because You first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.